Are in chapter 4 of Mark, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 through 32. So, how many of you guys planted gardens this year? How many of you planted a garden? All right, I got some hands up. I know it's another parable of farming or agriculture, and the question today is, how does it grow? After you planted those seeds and you put them in the ground, it kind of, you know, we do some things to tend to the soil and to make it a little bit better and to kind of keep the weeds out and stuff like that. But ultimately, the growth and the fruitfulness belongs to God. We don't really have a lot of say over what happens down inside that ground. That seed sprouts, or it doesn't. Things happen, or it doesn't. And, you know, I've heard reports of all the gardeners around here. Sometimes we're surprised at how great something does. Sometimes we're surprised about how horrible something does, because we put the same amount of work and everything into it, and we don't understand it all. And Jesus is going to bring his parable kind of from that perspective today, that, you know, we don't get to understand it all. We really just got to trust him. And so we're gonna look to him today. So I'm going to ask you, if you could, to stand, if you're able to stand, if it's possible. I know some of us have reasons why we can't. You're not going to be looked down upon if you can't. But during the reading of God's Word. And so let us read Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Then he said, 'To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth, but when it is sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may rest and may nest under its shade.'" So let us pray. Dear God, I pray that you'd give us wisdom and insight as we have read your word today, that we would learn how to apply it rightly into our lives. Lord, this is a great story, and it's great to read, and we could look at all of the literary brightness to it, but Lord, it really is meant to be something that we learn from and put into practice in our lives. And so show us how, in Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. So another parable of farming, and I like it that we decided to go through Mark right now, and I love all the parables. And again, the parables are supposed to be understood properly as an example or an illustration of an earthly thing to try to help us see a spiritual thing. And so the reason why I spoke in parables, even among the people that were lost, was it had to be spiritually discerned. And as they began to receive a gift of the Holy Spirit, they were going to be able to see it in a way like they'd never seen it before. And so I pray that we have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes to be able to see this the way Jesus meant for us to today. So here's the, on the next slide, I want you to realize we all play a role in this. We all play a role. Can I get an amen? None of us are exempted from these parables. Now, I noticed only a few hands went up this during this service of people who have planted gardens. And that doesn't, you know, we can pick or choose to plant a garden, but as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to be a part of the harvest. We are called to be involved in the growing and the discipling of other individuals. So we all play a role. And we've already learned from a previous parable that there was the parable of the sower, and the sower went out, you know, and he sowed the seed, and we decided from that the seed is the Word of God. And so here's what our part is in this. Our part is we are the sowers. God, ultimately, is the grower. Do you notice when you plant the seed in the garden, you can't make it grow. Now, you can do things to try to help and to try to fertilize and to try to cultivate and to try to keep things from competing against it, but ultimately you cannot make that seed grow. But here's another part that we get to play a role in. We get to help with the harvest. A lot of times we think, well, you know, we think about the ultimate harvest that Jesus talked about, where in the end the angels are going to do some harvesting, right? But there's a harvest that happens right here on planet Earth today when each individual comes to know Jesus Christ. That's part of the harvest. That's deciding ahead of time who belongs to Him. And it's a decision that has to be made freely. And you know what? God wants to use us as part of this. And I can just say, and I hope you can relate, if you've ever been part of the harvest in any way, shape, or form, there is nothing like it. And I'll tell you what, you'll give up everything that you thought was dear to you to be able to see it happen again. And I'm addicted to being part of the harvest. God actually made us to have that kind of personality that we like to get attached to certain things because He wants us to get attached to Him. He wants us to be attached to His work and to be a part of what He is doing. And whenever we get to see some of that harvest happen, oh man, there's just nothing like it. We all play a role in this. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9 said, and this is Paul speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I planted, Paul saying that, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who was it who made it grow? God Himself. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. You know what? I'm pleased. I'm looking around the church right here today, and I'm noticing that we have different local congregations that are represented in this church building today. We're not in competition with one another, amen? We got folks all the way from Virginia that are here, from a Calvary Chapel in Virginia, close to Richmond. And we got our other son and his family here from Faith Baptist Church, and we've got some from Sandy Baptist Church. And you know what, guys? This is not a competition. We're all part of the same deal here. Whenever God wins, we all win, right? And we've got some from Potosi Southern. We've got some from all over. And I'm just going to tell you know where I want you to serve? Wherever God calls you to serve. You know how I want you to serve? I want you to serve for the glory of God. Amen? Because it's all about Him. It's not about us. And I can tell you, if God does decide to use any of us in this plan, it's all His glory. Because we can't make any of it happen. The only thing we can do is work on being obedient to God and let Him use us. Become a conduit for His grace. So we are the sowers in this. And if we look at verse 26, we kind of get that reiterated in our mind. I want to kind of break that down just a little bit more. Mark 4:26, and He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Okay, for all you gardeners out there, did you just go out and take your green bean seeds and just go whoosh, cast them all out there? No, you didn't. You see, we do kind of a British style of gardening, you know, and we put down string lines and we put out straight rows and we put our plants so far apart and we really discriminate in how we plant. Okay? Now, I want you to understand something. Whenever it comes to sowing the gospel and the word of God, we are not to discriminate. You see, He talks about scattering the seed. And if you look at that word scatter, it means we're not picking and choosing. It literally just means throw it. So like, you're supposed to be a living example of God's Word. It should be coming out of you as you go about your day. And yes, you should speak of it. That's part of it. But man, above speaking, you got to live it. That's the main thing, because, you know, people are going to hear you speak, and then they're going to watch to see if you actually do it. And see, you got to have both. You can't have one without the other. But, you know, it shouldn't be something that we discriminate whenever we do. There should be nowhere, at no time, that we try to hide the Word of God. Because He's just talking about that lamp isn't put under a bushel basket or under a bed. In fact, one of my grandchildren last week pointed out that would burn that bed down. We don't want to do that. What we want is to let that light permeate the darkness. Because all darkness is the absence of light. Guys, we need to let the light shine. We need to scatter the seed on the ground. And that seed is literally the Word of God. God is the grower. And he you know, as we kind of break that down, I should have had that in red letters, I'm sorry. But it still says the same. Verse 27, and should sleep by day or by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. Here's the thing, guys. We keep going about our work. We keep going from day to day. You keep doing what you know God's caused you to do. After you sow that seed, you know what? You need to let God take over. And he goes on to say, the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. Who is it who controls all that? God himself. And he's saying, you know, we sow and go. We keep sowing and making disciples while God grows the crop. You know, one time I got really concerned about my green bean plants because they just weren't sprouting quick enough. You should know, you know, like green bean plants, they're pretty well on a schedule. And you sow them, you know, you put them out there, you plant them, and after so many days, you should start seeing them pop up through the soil. And I noticed my soil was a little crusty. And so I went down there and I started kind of digging around. You could tell where they were trying to poke their little heads up, and I tried to help them. You know, on some of those seeds, I did more damage than I did good. Because while I poked around a little too much into their business, I actually harmed the roots. You know, guys, I think sometimes we can do that. We plant the seed and we want to see if it's growing. And so we start probing around and we start making it our business whether or not that seed grows in that individual. Guys, the seed growth is really up to God. It's up to the condition of that soil. So yeah, you know, we can do some stuff maybe to help fertilize that soil a little bit from time to time. But ultimately, don't go trying to dig that seed up to see if it's really growing. We need to let it do its thing. Let God take care of it. That don't mean we got nothing to do. That means we should keep doing what we know we're called to do. And we should know what we're called to do because he makes it really, really clear as he directs us just point blank in his word. So look at his word if you want to know what you should be doing. And God makes it really clear. So we are the sowers. God is the grower. And then we get to help harvest. Okay, we get to help in the harvest. That, it should be seen that harvesting is a privilege. It's not a right. Can I get an amen to that? Guys, we are called to be obedient. And in that obedience, we should be sowing the seed. We should be scattering on the ground. We should be letting God do his thing. And sometimes we may go for long periods of time without taking part of a harvest. That's really not right. That's not promised to us. In fact, if we do get to be part of it, we just need to be thankful that God chose us to be a part of it and to be a part of that joy. For years, I did a lot of sowing, and I did zero harvesting as far as getting to see somebody come to the Lord. And I wonder, man, am I just doing this all wrong? You know, must be me. Because, you know, everything in the world's up to me, right? Not quite, right? Do you ever get the feeling like that? If something went wrong, must have been your fault. Something goes right, man. Because I did such a good job. And we can find ourselves on both sides of that equation. Some people just really are hard on themselves and they always think it's their fault. You know? Here's the deal, guys. Once you've sown the seed, you got to trust God's big enough. You just need to do what you're called to do. So anyway, you know, I got to feeling weird that I hadn't gotten to see any harvest. And so I thought, well, what do I do about this? Do I just try harder? Because that's always been my thing. I'm kind of a type A person. Now, try harder. Just try harder. You know, discipline more or whatever. But here's the thing. I thought, well, maybe I need to pray about this. Duh. And so I just prayed. It was the beginning of a year. And I just prayed that at the beginning of that year, I thought, God, you know, I've never really just been involved in leading somebody to the throne of grace to encourage them to receive the Lord. I've done a lot of sowing. I've done a lot of talking to people about the Lord. I'm trying to live it, but I never have had anybody really accept in my presence. And so I prayed. And you know, guys, before the end of that month was over, I had a woman who I had shared the gospel with. And I said, would you like to accept Jesus, would you like to follow him? And she wholeheartedly said, yes, I do. And I almost didn't know what to do. I was like, I've never had this happen before. You know, most people are pretty jaded by the time I get to them. But this lady, she really wanted to follow Jesus. She wanted to know more. And so I shared more scriptures with her. And then I prayed with her. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't just tell her what to say. She knew what to say. She wanted to repent of her sins. She wanted to give her heart to Jesus. Pray about it. Because you see, our calling is already mapped out in what we should obey. And Jesus left us with a command whenever he left planet Earth. He's coming back someday. And we just need to stay about what he told us to do until he comes back. And this is what he said. He spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen? Amen. You notice the amens in black letters there. That's for us. Amen. We are to agree with God with what he has said. And so he has left us with this as our calling, as our job to do, and we are to continue doing it until he comes back. And we always need to remember about the harvest. We may get chosen to be a part of it, but a harvest can't be forced either. Whenever we look at Luke chapter 10, verses 2 through 3, and then Jesus said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So he does want us to be a part of it. It needs to be voluntary on both sides of the equation. Nobody's going to get harvested until they're willing to, and nobody's going to really be a part of the harvest unless they're willing to. But what do we do as the people that see that there needs to be a harvest? We need to pray that God inspires people to be involved. And we are called to be involved. I can tell you, if you're looking for fulfillment in your life and you're not sure where to find it, I'm going to shorten up your list a little bit. Try this one, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to find what you were made for. You were made to help make disciples of the nations. You make this your primary purpose in life, and everything else that you do will help support that, and it's going to make sense, and it's going to be more fulfilling, because you're going to be doing what God's called his people to do. What does that look like? Be honest with you, it looks like relationships. It looks like being willing to open your life a little bit and connect with others. Put your life on their life. Figure out where they are and help lead them from day to day. It could be in a church setting, and it needs to be happening in a church setting as well as other settings. It needs to be something that your life is about. And I'll tell you one thing as well. It needs to start in the home. A lot of times we're trying to start outside of the home and make it back into our home. Eventually I'll disciple my children, you know, my family or whatever. How about starting there and working out? Include them in the discipleship process of others as well, because then they're going to see it lived out. And I'm just going to tell you guys, if it's a part of your natural life, everything else you do, your job, your marriage, your family, whatever, even your possessions are going to mean so much more to you when they're being used for God's purpose. God will be pleased to bless you and bless them as well. In verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. You get something out of that? It ain't going to be easy. We do have an enemy, and he don't want to see it happen. And you know what? Sometimes he's going to pick on us. Guys, be of good cheer, for Jesus has overcome the world. He has power over it all, but he sends us out not to force people to be harvested, but to call them unto the harvest. And we're going to be like lambs among the wolves. That's what we're going to look like to the rest of the world. But here's the thing, guys. We got God on our side. How can we lose? If we're on God's side, he's on our side. And I want you to see one more thing as we get ready to kind of bring this to a close. Not only can the harvest not be forced, But the harvest has no delay when the soul is willing either. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 29. This is that last in that little section about this harvesting process. But when the grain ripens, I put the NASB up there as well, the New American Standard Bible. And because I think maybe it captures this phrase just a little bit more clear for us. So the NKJV says, but when the grain ripens, look at the NASB, but when the crop permits. Did you ever think about it that when you go out to pick your ear of corn, that the corn's permitting you to pick that ear? You know, we don't really look at it like that. We force that ear off there, and I take it in because it's mine. And I'm going to have that piece of corn, and I'm going to do it as I want to. You know, sometimes I'm surprised whenever I peel it back. It was really up to God all along. Sometimes the little kernels are so small, you don't really get nothing out of them, and other times God makes them all plump and sweet, and man, there's just nothing sweeter in the world. That's in God's hands. Sometimes He sends a worm. Do you ever have a worm in your corn? We read about Jonah. He had a worm, too. Came along. It was actually God who purposed that worm for a reason. You see, God's doing something through all this. And what we got to understand is, in this harvest, the crop has to permit. The person has to be ready to be harvested. The person has to be ready and submitted to God to willingly give his heart to Jesus. We can't force it. How many times have you seeing somebody you loved and you just wish that you could help them go from death to life? You just wish to the point that, like, you'd almost be willing to force them if you could. It don't work. It can only be done willingly. Do you notice God don't even force them? The crop has to permit. And then this word immediately. Remember we started out the book of Mark with the word immediately? We were focusing in on that. He immediately puts in the sickle. When that person is ready, we need to be ready to help them. Guys, don't tell them, hey, I'll call you back next week. If somebody calls you and they say, I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus, you make time for them. You figure out a way to talk to them. You figure out a way to show them the scriptures so that they'll know how to get there. Because when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, I know, you know, a lot of times we look at the scripture and we relate it to these angels that are going to be harvesting at the end, but I think this is talking to me and you. This is saying we need to be about making disciples. We need to be about sowing the grain, scattering the seed. We need to be about letting God raise it up, and whenever we see it's ready, we need to be about the harvest too. It's really what God has called us to do. And so here's the thing. Ultimately, God is definitely going to do his part. Do I get an amen on that? Has God ever failed at anything he's ever done? Is he going to in the future? Has he ever broken a promise? It's impossible for God to be wrong. God is always right, and he is always completely potent in everything he does. He's omnipotent. That means God never fails. We just need to make sure we're doing our part. Guys, we fail. We're the weak link in the plan. But here's the thing. If we'll ask God to help us and we'll be committed to it, we can't lose. That's the reason why I don't fear a lot of the things that the rest of the world is fearing in these days. Because I know, ultimately, if I'm in the center of God's will, God is going to take care of what I've entrusted to him until that day. And that's what Paul said, and Paul was sitting in prison when he said it. He didn't fear his future because he knew he had entrusted his life, his everything to Christ. He belonged to Christ, and Christ wasn't going to lose something that was his. And so let us do the same. Let's do our part. Because I think that we are in a time that we are going to begin to see a great harvest. You keep scattering the seed. Don't you discriminate. Some of the people I thought were going to be the least receptive have been the most. You scatter the seed, and let's see what God does. And then let's be ready for the harvest. God bless you all. You may be sitting here today thinking, I'm ready for the harvest. I've heard about Jesus. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I can't save myself, and I'm miserable, and I am ready to give my life to Christ. I want you to know that very next moment is you're going to find joy that's unspeakable. That don't mean your life's going to get perfect all of a sudden. But what it does mean is you're going to have the perfect one to walk with you through the rest. Guys, we're going to meet back this evening, and we're going to cover verses 30 through 32 at 6 o'clock this evening. I invite you to come back. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you're the one who does the growing. You're working in people's hearts right now as we speak, as we sit in this church building, and you're working on hearts in this church building right now. God, I don't know what, and I'm not going to try to dig up the seed to see, but what we are going to do is we're going to invite people to meet you at the point of what you are doing. That they would be willing just to surrender to a holy God, one that can be trusted, that is merciful and kind, but is also the judge. We need to understand, Lord, that we will give an answer to you someday for what we have done with what you have given us. And if you've given us a little gift of faith today, let us act upon it. That's what those next few verses are about, is that mustard plant. And we know that you taught us something about a mustard seed. It was small. It was the smallest. But if we just have faith that big, and we act upon it, it's all we need. Help us, Lord, to act upon the faith you've given us. Help us to be willing to submit to the harvest today. The harvest of our soul for all of eternity, that we would become a child of God. And also submit to the other part of the harvest, that we would be the harvesters from that point on. That we would allow you to use us. That we would make our life's ambition and goal about serving God and discipling others. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us just say yes to God today. In Jesus' name, amen.